Let's follow up Revelation 16 in the seventh bowl with Deuteronomy chapter 8. I made mention of some of the verses this morning. Let's start at verse 1. And I'll read 2 where I started this morning, and we'll then cover this chapter. Verse 1, Deuteronomy 8, all the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you just as a man disciplines his son. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing forth in valleys and hills. Land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat food without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Let's pray. Father, we know that we are prone to neglect and forget and wander. We don't like to mention it and don't like to dwell on it, but that's part of the backdrop here, because if we weren't, his commands would not be given. The warnings would not be laid out before the people. If we retained everything as we should have, it would not be necessary to go over it and to emphasize it and to give warnings. For how could we ever forget such a thing? But here it is, Lord, because we are the way we are in the fall, that our minds are not what they should be. It must be held in check and brought into line with your word. So, Lord, we pray that it would not be for others that this is written, but for us, that we might be those who remember properly. In Jesus' name, amen. When we got to Columbia Bible College, I don't know what happened on the ladies' side, but I think it was a general rule in the dorms that if you hung something on the walls, you couldn't make any kind of hole in the wall. You couldn't drive something into the wall. It was cement walls. But you couldn't take a nail and pop it into there. The only way you could make something stick, people would put posters up or some other little boards, you know, boards to, like a bulletin board. The only way you could do that is if something would stick on the wall. There's a couple of things that generally were used. One was called, I think it was called Tiki Tack, wasn't it? That was that putty. You get that thing and you put it in and you stick it on the walls and you stick your poster up against it and trust God it'll stay. Because it's not natural. I mean, it's got to stick to the wall and stick to the poster itself. I happened to bring in, I think it was my junior year, senior year, I was able to get a a dartboard to hang on that wall. But let me tell you, with the dartboard on the wall, the other rule was violated about knocking holes in the wall, because not everybody hit that dartboard when they were throwing at it. So you'd knock a few chunks out of there, but it would never stick. So sticking, to get the posters to stick, to get heavier things to stick, was a trick on those walls with those rules. So you're kind of thinking of the same thing when you think of memory, to have it stick, to have something stick with you so that you don't forget it. And again, as I said this morning, the typical need for human memory is to be in it all the time, and then you kind of know it just by nature almost. You're constantly in something, you're constantly with people, you're constantly in a certain subject, you're in it for an extended period of time, so you know. When you first start, you don't know, you're learning, and so you look into it and you find out things, and then you remember. When I was working in Columbia in the IT department, up there, I was told first day, this is how we set up a computer, and it was like, what? It was all just unique and arbitrary to whatever they wanted to set up, and so I ended up making a 2 or 3 page guide sheet about what to do. I couldn't remember all that stuff. I was overwhelmed at first. What do we do now? We don't know, but then after a while, you know. When I first changed, put my insulin set into my body, I said, every step, what does it say now to do? Oh, wait a minute, was I not supposed to do that? But now no instructions are necessary. If I got away from it for a while, it would maybe have to think about it. This is just the nature of human memory. Well, the spiritual factor comes in, though, when not only are we fallen, but we are, so that our bodies are not capable of retaining what we should all the time, as we age especially, but we don't remember what we are supposed to remember. Things that are just basic to life. And the most regrettable is to forget the Lord. And in this Deuteronomy, you see that, as we looked at it before when we were going through Genesis, Exodus, and Numbers, and some of Deuteronomy, that this is at the end of that time, 40 years. If any people should remember the Lord, it should be these people. They shouldn't have forgot him after they got across the Red Sea, because they forgot him, practically. They spent those years in the wilderness, 40 years. So now they're going to go in to the promised land. This is Moses' last words, really. And they're going to go in the land. And do you think that they thought for a moment that they hope they don't mess this up? Because last time they messed it up, they had to go for 40 years in the wilderness. That's all mentioned there. The Lord led them 40 years. And it says in verse 2, testing them to humble them so that they would not be proud people. They would not be those who consider that they're owed something by God. That generation died out. And now these have come. And the Lord is saying, he wants to know if you'll... whether you keep his commandments or not. You're gonna mess up, you're gonna fall away, you're gonna obey me. Whenever the Lord does something so he knows, we're talking about a practical knowledge that is evidence, not that God didn't know beforehand, but that he sees now in practice what they're gonna do. So he humbled you, verse 3, let you be hungry, fed you with manna, which you did not know, your fathers knew, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. That lesson then was that you need to hear the word of the Lord. And so that was, you know, the wilderness. He kept them from having their clothes and shoes and all wear out. They were protected from a lot of things that normally would happen, because verse 5 tells us the Lord was disciplining them, enabling them to survive and to remember. That's one function of discipline. Whenever our parents would discipline us, it was to help us remember. Did it ever help you remember to obey when something happened and you messed up and you got punished for it? And it's supposed to make it stick. And that doesn't always work. Prison is supposed to make a prisoner say, "I'm never going to come in here again." That doesn't usually work that way, does it? It's a repeated thing. But verse 6 there, "You shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him." You see, walking in his ways and fearing God, that is the foundation of remembering. To walk in the ways of God, you're keeping that fresh with the Lord. It's always in your mind. And to fear him means that he motivates you constantly in your actions. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Those who do not fear the Lord do not think of him when they make decisions. They do not remember him, lest they offend him, because they don't fear him. They don't fear offending him or disobeying him. And those, Solomon says, are fools. The land they're coming to is a good land. And here's the irony, I think, of it all, is that we are so diseased in sin that we can't be given an entire country already with houses and fields and refrigerators full of food and remember the Lord. That is the fear at the beginning. That they're going to go in there, and they're going to open up the refrigerator, they're going to pull out the popcorn from the cabinet, put it in the microwave, pop it up, sit down in front of the TV and watch TV, and by the end of the show they're going to say, "How did we get here? What is all this? Oh, this is great," and forget the Lord. As I said earlier, if we're not of that inclination, there's no need for it to be mentioned. They're on the brink of disaster all the time. All these blessings, wheat, barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, land of olive oil and honey, a land where you eat food without scarcity. No lack of anything. You've got natural resources there. And here's the danger, verse 10. "When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God and the good land, for the good land which he has given you." Then we got to where I mentioned this morning. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. You see, that is a practical forgetting. Notice how he ties this in with practice. He says, beware. That means it is an imminent danger. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God. And it's not that you forget him in your mind, in just memory or that. It is a practical thing. You can remember the Lord exists and forget the Lord by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. So it's practical. This is people believe in God. People believe in God. People believe in God. Over 90% of people believe in God. Whenever that question is asked and that poll is taken and everybody, "Oh, look at that. People believe in God." It is so non-specific to believe in God. To believe in God could be anything. If you went further and said you believe in the Christian God, you believe in the God of the Bible, do you believe in the God that that Scripture speak of, you believe in Jesus Christ and the Father and Son, Holy Spirit, well, you'd get a whole lot less of a yes on that. But forgetting is practical. A lot of people pat themselves on the back because they believe in God. You believe in God? Yes. Oh, that's great. Well, it's not great. It's not great or not great. It's unless you believe in the proper God. Unless you follow His ways. Verse 12, if you don't do that. And here's the result. The practical nature of unbelief or failure to remember goes forth then into not connecting your blessings to God, and you lose it. Otherwise, when you've eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, when your herds and your flocks multiply, your silver and gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Well, in the wilderness, they didn't have any of these things. They were wanting to hold on to the Lord to keep from messing up like they did the last time. They still had to go across another, you know, the Jordan River. They had to go across another body of water miraculously. And they had to fight, which the first group didn't want to do because the people were too big and they didn't believe in God and they forgot the Lord. And think about how quickly they forgot. Not that they forgot He existed. The original crowd, when they went into the Promised Land, God had dealt 10 plagues on Egypt. And not little things either. A bunch of stuff that attacked all the Egyptian gods. And then brought them out and through the Red Sea. Pillar of fire at night, you know, cloud by day, all that guiding. There were many evidences of God's presence among the people. The 12 spies go in, and 10 come back with a bad report, and the entire congregation forgot the Lord while still believing in Him, while still holding to His name, while still having the tabernacle, while still doing the things which, you know, the people of God would do because God had commanded it. They forgot Him. Because they said, these people are too big. We can't take them. So I guess on the other side of the Red Sea, they said, well, we can split this Red Sea and go through it on our own. It didn't happen. God led them through. So this is what they should have made that application. But they forgot. Oh, yeah. Your heart becomes proud and you forget. And then you're in the land and you've got the stuff and you have then in your arsenal at that point something that will destroy the land and destroy the nation and destroy you if you forget. How could they forget what is mentioned in verse 15? He led you through the great and terrible wilderness in with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness, He fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, and that He might humble you, and He might test you to do good for you in the end. Remember when the manna came, part of that was to be saved in the ark. So they'll see that God has provided that, so they don't forget. And the tablets on stone, so they don't forget. And water out of the rock, God had done that to show that He can provide for them. And the manna falling on the ground, manna was quite the thing. That wouldn't be bad, really, would it? I always likened it to popcorn, but it was some kind of a honey-type bread, which they gathered and ate and got sick of it, wanted quail. But to provide that, how do you forget that? Remember when they found the book of the law in the temple in Josiah's day. They'd forgotten about the Lord completely. They'd let the word out there. They still had the temple. They still had they were cleaning it up. They still knew about God, but they'd forgotten all about Him. You shall remember the Lord your God. For it is He who has given you power to make wealth, that He may confirm His covenant which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. It shall come about, if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you will surely perish. Right there in the midst of the blessings, they'll perish. Our nation has forgotten God. We see it increasingly so. Our nation was never a Christian nation in the sense that all were believers, but far from it. It is an interesting study to make that the original forefathers of our Constitution and government and nation they existed in an environment of Judeo-Christian belief. Whether they were Christians or not, they were raised and believed in the Bible, the Judeo-Christian ethic, the law of God, Jesus Christ. And when the Constitution then was written, it was written from the contribution of what the Word of God would give to a society and how we should live. And it was said at the time, I think it was Thomas Jefferson, maybe, that if you at any time just keep the Constitution and forget the Bible and sever those two, the Constitution will be void of its original meaning and purpose. That Thomas Jefferson's a smart guy. Because you know today, judges look at the Constitution without the Bible, and they come up with all kinds of stuff. Did you know that when the original founding fathers wrote the Constitution, they had it in their minds that if a woman wanted to abort her baby by any means necessary or possible, even to the point of just after it was born, that the Constitution was intended by the founding fathers to guarantee that she would have that opportunity? They would not have ever thought about that. You take the Bible away, forget God, that comes in. Do you think they were thinking, you know, we got to write this Constitution in such a way that if Bruce Jenner wants to become a woman someday, he has every right to by the Constitution? No, they would never do that. All that comes about because the Constitution was separated from the Bible. A parent raising a child, when's the scary time? Oh, there comes that time when they move out. They go to college. They get out on their own to a degree. And then fully on their own. What are they going to do? You've been there to help them. You've been there to guide them. You've been there to keep them out of trouble. Now they go out there. If they forget your instruction, what are they going to become? This is the point where they're being handed off into the promised land, and they've got to hold themselves to the Word of God, or they will perish. Lose all that. Without the Bible, without the fear of God, without respect for the Word of God, nothing. You'd have seen it in Thanksgiving this year. Thanksgiving for some who don't believe in pilgrims, don't believe in the Word of God, don't believe in the escaping persecution as they did, don't believe that the white man sailing over into the New World and the Indians got along any at all, they say it should be a day of mourning I read articles about that people, university professors, Thanksgiving should be a day of mourning. Why? Because of all the evil that the white man brought from England over and invaded the country and all that. That's a rewrite of history. The Indians helped us, some of the Indians, and the Englishmen helped paired with the Indians. And that was, there was that. There's always that. Then you had some who were not good on both sides. That's just the way it is. The rewrite of history then makes it something it's not. You forget blessings. See, the people don't even want us to remember the blessings of God because they want to make a political statement of some kind. And avoid Thanksgiving. See, we can't do that. And when our world has done that, then it's lost Thanksgiving. Our world has done that, it's lost Christmas. Our world has done that, it's lost Easter. It doesn't take a whole lot. When you separate the Bible, the only reason we ever had blue laws was because of the Bible, about drinking and stuff. Not that the Bible says anything about Sunday and all that. Blue laws. But there was a general fear of the Lord about alcohol and to limit its effect, and so there was that. And so that's why that was there. It flowed from that. But you'll perish. Verse 20, like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall perish because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God. Forgetting comes down to that. Is you would not listen. That is forgetting. Not that your mind is absent the facts, but that you would not listen, that you practically have turned against God. And now you're void of that knowledge. You don't have that guiding principle. It's no longer in effect. So you're on your own. We already know the way the Lord gets us and finds us and the way we are in this world, that we are going our own way. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That is our default position. When the Lord comes in and reveals to us that we can't do that in his world without being on his bad side, we have to be reconciled to God. If we don't hear that, we continue to go our own way. And so if you take away that fear of God and that information from the Bible that God is the King, God is the Lord, God does have the law, you remove all the motivation and guidance to a sinner to seek the Lord. So they don't seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found, they don't even think about seeking him. And after a while, he can't be found because they're not going to look. Not that God can't save anytime he wants to, but that's the inclination then. You just don't. You don't go anymore. For 16 years, every September, late August, and as much as you hoped it would be delayed, it always came every September or late August. School would come back. You thought in the end of May and the first part of June, your life from this point on would be summer vacation. And it passed June, July, August, back in school. I did that 16 times. Start back school. Then came 17. You know, I've never been back. You've never been back, have you? After the time you had. You didn't go back. You didn't go back to your teacher and say, I missed the assignment you gave to the other people who are still in school. Mike Iducci went back to the Army and said, can I come back and do boot camp again? So once you're out, you're out. That is a new thing. You forget that, and that's a good thing where it is a new phase of life. But we never get to that phase in our lives where we are to forget God. And we're always to keep the fire stoked in that. One thing I learned about burning wood. I love wood fire. Burning wood, we had that in North Carolina. It's a nice heat, but I learned pretty fast that if you let a fire in the wood stove go by itself, it diminishes until it is a cold glob of ash. And you've got to chunk it, and you've got to add wood to it if you're going to keep it going. That's what we have to do, lest you forget. And if you forget to chunk the fire, if you forget to bring wood in, if you forget the basic things about keeping it going, you're going to be cold. And there's nothing worse. And we did it. Get up in the morning in the mountains, and the fire has gone out overnight. I stuck my arm out from under the covers, and every hair that I pulled back had frost on it. It was awful. And you have to go start it from cold. Terrible. But that is what we're to do. This is why you're telling the Israel is because we are very forgetful people. Our minds aren't right. We can remember things that we don't need to know, but the things we need to know, because of our condition of the fall, we don't even know. Our children today don't know who Jesus Christ is. In the school system, you got a lot of people don't know what the Ten Commandments are. Never heard of them. They don't know about salvation or the cross or any of that. That was another generation. And when I was in school, at the very start, we were saying the Lord's Prayer in the morning. And you couldn't do that now without getting arrested 15 times. And sued by every state and several planets. It is just so, it's gone that far. That's when you forget, you lose it. I have a master lock at home. You know, one of these with a combination on the front? Nice to have. Guess what? What's the combination? I don't know. One time I put it up to my ear and went, I know that I've seen it doing it on TV. It must make a sound. It all sound the same. I don't have the combination. It's not a big thing. It's a small piece of thing. You can buy another one for not that much. But if you forget it, at one time, knew it. Probably. You forget it, it's gone. That's the warning we're given from the Lord. It's very possible, and it's happened. We live in it, that people forget God, our nation forgets God, and we can never do that. Let's stand. Jerry, would you dismiss us?